But what a wonderful thing to be said about any person, about any household, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You say, well, preacher, what does that ministry of the saints? It means, first of all, let me remind you that you and I are saints. I mean, I know some different religions, they have a process that where you go, they go through to make people saints, but we were made saints when we got saved. That doesn't mean we always do right, but it means that we have somebody that always pays for every sin. And again, I know some of you quibble with me about once saved, always saved, and say, well, that gives us a license to sin. No, it doesn't, because Paul said, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't sin just because we have somebody that forgives us from everybody, from everyone. But I'm so glad that we do have somebody that has paid for every sin. When Jesus died on Calvary, he not only paid, all of our sins are in the future. I mean, some of those people that were living back then, some of their sins were in the past. But when he died for me on Calvary, every one of my sins was in the future. And so were yours. And he paid for every single one of them. And we became saints when we got saved. And so the ministry of the saints is the ministry of Christians. It's the ministry of Christ. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what he expects us to be about, seeking and saving that which was lost. Jesus spent his time on earth ministering to other people, helping them, feeding them, comforting them. And in the same way, that's our ministry to other people, is to do the same thing that Jesus did. And so here was a household that had addicted themselves to that work. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, but I want to go back and I want to just tie some scriptures together to let you know that this household lived in this city called Achaia. And you go back to Acts chapter 18, and you can read that Paul visited that city. In fact, he preached in that city, and because his preaching stirred up so many of the people to do things they'd never done before, they hauled him to the deputy of the city, and they brought him to the judgment seat of the city. And here's what they accused him of: this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. He said, hey, here, this fellow, what he's doing over here, hey, we have the law and we're supposed to worship God this way, and he's teaching us to worship God some other way. Of course, he was teaching them about Jesus. He was telling them, hey, no longer, like we were talking about this morning, no longer does the priest need to go into the Holy of Holies. We've got somebody that paid for our sins, all of them. And we don't need, it's going to pay for our sins, all of them. No need to go into the Holy of Holies anymore with the blood of the sacrifice, because the Lamb of God hath taken away the sins of the world. And he was preaching that. And they brought him to the judgment seat. Now, also, in that same chapter, it tells us that Apollos went there. Apollos was a man from Ephesus, and when he came preaching, when Aquila and Priscilla met him for the first time and heard him preach, he's just preaching the baptism of John. And the Bible says they took him aside and they explained to him fully the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Apollos visited this same city, and here's what the Bible said that he did when he went there. He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so I think that the house of Stephanophis got saved when Paul was there. Because you go back to the first chapter of Corinthians, and Paul's talking about the people that he baptized, and he mentions this man. He mentions his household. And so when it says it's the first fruits of that city, it was one of the first families that got saved there. He was probably one of the first people that got saved there as Paul preached, and Paul baptized him. And then as he's writing here to the Corinthians, he says, you know the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Only time in the Bible that word addicted is used. And you go back and study it in the Greek, it hasn't changed its meaning from the way that we use it today. It means devoted to or given to. Now, when we think of the word addicted today, we usually think of it in a negative sense. We think of people, for example, that are addicted to drugs. Or we think of, not the medicine. I know some of you are, but not the medicine that we take, but the illegal drugs. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to cigarettes. They're addicted to gambling. Some people are addicted to TV. Some people are addicted to coffee and pop. Some people are addicted to food. Don't point fingers. But when we think of the word addicted today, we think of the negative connotation. They have given themselves to a habit. They have given themselves to something that has control of them, that they're a slave to it. And they look forward to it. It gives them pleasure. When they don't get it, they think about it. If they go too long without it, they have a mental and physical and emotional time of withdrawal. I mean, some of you, when you don't get your cup of coffee in the morning, well, yeah, you got to have that cup of coffee. Yeah, there's a girl at work. She comes in at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm there with a Coke. She's drinking Coca-Cola at 7 o'clock in the morning. And again, when we think of the word addicted, we think of it in a negative way. All of us have known people that have been addicted to something bad, and it has just sucked the life out of them. It is just, they've been controlled by it. Their lives have been wrecked because of an addiction. And tonight, I want to use this verse and I want to challenge us and get you to thinking that we can be addicted to something good. That thing that we are, again, we think of the word as somebody that's a slave to something, that they are controlled by it. And I'll submit to you tonight that we can be addicted and be controlled and be a slave to something good. And it wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would say about us, or somebody would say about our home, well, they're addicted to the ministry of the saints. In the same context of the word. And again, I'm going to talk about it, but I want to get you thinking about it. They are addicted to doing the things that Jesus did. They are addicted to being Christ-like. I mean, if we were addicted to the ministry of the saints, doing the things that Jesus did would be something that we'd look forward to. It would be something that would give us pleasure. It would be something that if we didn't get, we would miss it. And if we didn't do it for a while, we would begin to have withdrawal symptoms. And I believe what the Bible is teaching is, hey, that you can be addicted to something good, and all the attributes that go along with the word addiction in the negative sense can go along with the word addicted in the positive sense. Now, just think with me for a little bit tonight. How do you get addicted to something? I'm going to start with the negative. And then I'm going to turn around and ask you to think about it from the positive. So how do you get addicted to something bad? Well, I'll tell you. Number one, you start to think about it. You see other people doing it. It looks like it gives them pleasure. Sometimes what they're doing makes them part of a group, and you want to be part of that group. And so you see other people doing it. It seems to give them physical pleasure. It seems to give them emotional pleasure. It makes them part of the group. You think to yourself, oh, that looks pretty good. And you begin to think about trying it. Now, I'll just tell you, all the addictions to bad things are promises from the devil that are never kept. Getting addicted to the things that control us in a negative sense, Satan puts there, he makes us promises, and the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And so when we start, it feels good. But when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And again, you have known and I have known people that have got addicted to things that has just destroyed their life. But how did it start? They started thinking about it. They start, I've talked to people. I said, "How did you start smoking?" Well, I was a teenage kid. Now, I'm not confessing. I'm just sharing somebody else's testimony. I was a teenage kid. All my peers were smoking. Looked like it, you know. That was back in the days when they had the Marlboro Man and Joe Camel, and you looked at it and said, "Hey, looks pretty good." I've never smoked a cigarette. I've smelled enough of them. You cannot convince me that they taste good. I mean, I've smelled pipes, and some pipes, smell pretty good. I've never smoked a pipe. I've never smoked anything. I had a cigar in my mouth one time that was not lit because one of my uncles, the black sheep of the family, wanted to take my picture with a cigar in my mouth. I was about 4 years old. It's the only time I've ever held tobacco in my mouth, and it wasn't willingly. But you can't convince me that some of that stuff tastes good. And yet, people, when we're kids and we want to fit in, we see our peers doing it, and we say, "Hey, that looks pretty good," and you start thinking about it. Start thinking about it. And then, number two, you try it. You get in a situation where somebody offers you a cigarette. You get in a situation where somebody offers you something else. You get in a situation where you say, "Hey, I've heard people talk about this soap opera that comes on at 2:30 in the afternoon on Channel X. I've been thinking about it. I think I'll watch it. Or, "Oh boy, that coffee smells good. I think I'll try it. Just one cup. It won't hurt me." And just so you know, that I'll preach to myself tonight, I go home at night. I got a jar of Butterfingers that people have given me like that. And I say, one won't hurt me tonight. I can just have one. I went home last night. I was kind of hungry. I said, "One Butterfinger won't hurt me." And somebody gave me four or five of these giant ones. So I ate one. I said to myself, "Man, was that good." Now, I didn't laugh at your sin, did I? I said to myself, "One more won't hurt me, will it?" And I had another big one. And that was so good. I looked at the package. There's 34 grams of fat in each one of them. So I said to myself, "Well, I'm up to 68. I might as well go for 100. So I had another one. Three giant Butterfingers. You addicted to Butterfingers? No. I could give them up at any time. And then I just like you are when you don't get your first cup of coffee. So how does it start? We think about it, and then we try it. And then number three, we try it again, and again, and again, and again. And pretty soon, it's got us. It's got us. I've been, some of you know, I've mentioned this a time before, but I'm thinking about retiring this year. I'm thinking about trying to work things out so I can retire right around July, so that when my grandson is born, I can be there from day one. Oh, yeah. Make myself available, I want to get in there on the ground floor. I don't want to have to be gone for a week and come home and say, "What did these kids teach my grandson?" I want to be there. But I said to myself, I'm trying to get everything in order and get everything planned. I said, I got to lose some weight. I got to get prepared for when I retire. And so, first of the year, I said, this is going to be my regiment. Food is not going to control me. I am the master of this food, and I'm going to decide what goes into my mouth. Yeah, that's right, Brother Leonard. So, I was in Jackson, Mississippi, And there's a restaurant down there called Auntie D's. And you go through the line, and man, they have vegetable after vegetable after vegetable. They got fried chicken. They got barbecue pork and barbecue ribs. And so the guy that my manager down there said, "You want to go out to lunch?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Well, why don't we go to Auntie D's? I can get some good vegetables. That, you know, that's healthy, vegetables." Well, it's not healthy when you have two plates that are stacked up like this. And the master of food became the slave of food. I walked out of there defeated and discouraged because it had me in its clutches. And again, from a negative standpoint, all of us can point to something in our life we're addicted to. I mean, maybe it's gum. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's a TV program. Maybe it's racing. I don't know. There's something in our life. Maybe it's Old Country Buffet, Brother Harold. All right? But there's something in our life we're addicted to. And my point is tonight, we can do that same thing when it comes to the ministry of the saints. How does it happen? We begin to think about it. We begin to think about it. We see somebody else doing something nice for somebody else, and we say, "Hey, that looks like fun. That looks like fun." We listen to people's testimonies about going into convalescent centers and rest homes and how they go in and talk to people. And boy, it just thrills our heart and say, "Boy, that sounds like fun. Sounds like fun." We hear people going to hospitals and just going up and down the rooms and visiting different people in the hospitals and talking to them. And I went to see Bill Lewis yesterday. He's up at Hurley, and again he's got some problems and you need to pray for him. But I said, "Bill, would it be okay if I had a word of prayer with you before I go?" He said, "Yeah, I'd appreciate that." So I shook his hand and we held hands, and I began to pray. And as I was beginning to pray, I heard this voice. The curtain was drawn. I never did see the other guy until after I got done. I began to pray, and I began to hear these words, "Make it so, Lord. Amen. Do it, God, do it." And I got done, and I pulled the curtain back, and there was a black man there. I said, "You must be a preacher." He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "I could tell by the way you were praying with me." He said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, I sure will. And I'll be honest with you. The more I do that, the more I like it. The more I like it. And some of you that have done it, you know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you what. I made it through this book 24 times last year. 24 times. Now, I wish I could tell you every day I read a piece of it. But there were days, because I was so busy, I didn't. But you know what I felt like on those days? I felt like there was something missing in my life. I felt like Adam feels when he doesn't get that first cup of coffee in the morning. I was a grouch. I had Debbie ask me a couple of times. She said, "What's the matter with you today?" I said, "I guess it's because I didn't get to read my Bible for the whole day. I haven't read for the whole day. For the whole day. I haven't read it." And what I'm saying is, we can get addicted to good things. How do you get addicted? You think about it. You see other people doing it. You see their example. You say, "Hey, that looks like it's fun." Or, "That looks like it gives them pleasure." Or, "That looks like it's satisfying." And so you decide, "I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it." And so you do something. Maybe you call up one of our widows and say, "Hey, how would you like to go out for lunch?" And you take them out for lunch. Or maybe you hear about somebody in the hospital and you go and get some flowers and take them flowers in the hospital. Or maybe you hear about a little boy or a little girl that doesn't have shoes or a coat, and you go out and buy them shoes and a coat. And you like it. You like it. And so you say, "I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again." And pretty soon, that good thing, that positive thing, gets a hold of us. And we're addicted to it. If we don't do it, we miss it. If we don't do it, we go through stages of withdrawal. And so tonight, why can't we be addicted to this book? Why can't we decide as individuals, hey, you know, this is God's word. I live in a country where I don't have to worry about somebody coming and taking it away from me. I can read this book every single day. Every single day. Why can't I get addicted to this book like I am to my coffee or like I am to my soap opera or like I am to my Butterfingers and think to myself, man, I'm going to look for time to spend in the Bible. I'm gonna read it. And it's not that I'm going to do it, say, oh, I got to read the Bible. I'm a Christian and God told me I got it. No, we look forward to it like I look forward to my Butterfingers. Man, it's good. I know it's good. And I'm going to get into it. I'm going to read it. Why can't we get addicted to coming to church? Where we don't get up on a Sunday morning and say, well, I got to decide if I'm going to church this morning. Why don't we just get up every Sunday morning and because we're addicted to it, come. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Get addicted to it. I mean, I wish we could get to the point where we don't come on a Sunday night for some, we can't for some reason, that we get the heebie-jeebies. You know what I'm talking about? That we have withdrawal when we don't come because we're addicted to coming. I wish we could get addicted to telling people about Jesus. I wish we could get addicted to where we realize every opportunity where we run across somebody that we don't know whether they're saved or not, we take the opportunity to ask them the question, hey, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you? You can be. The Bible says you can be. I wish we could get addicted to where every opportunity we had, we told people that sin separates us from God. Separates us from God forever. And God made us, He created us to be together with Him forever. And He wants that relationship with us. And He died on Calvary so that we could have it. When He went to Calvary, He took every one of our sins. God laid them on Jesus. And when He went to Calvary, He died for every single one of them. And He offers to each person the greatest gift in the whole world, the greatest gift in all of creation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. And we have the privilege to tell them, if you just take it, if you just receive it, God will take you. He'll never turn anybody away if we come and ask Him to save us. I wish we could get addicted to where when we don't get to do that for a couple days, we begin to have withdrawal symptoms and we look for opportunities to give somebody a track to tell them about Christ. Here was a household that addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let me say two more things and then I'm done. Number one, when it comes to bad things that we get addicted to, it's a whole lot easier to get addicted than it is to get unaddicted. Huh? When it comes to bad things, and all of you have struggled as I have with trying to break a bad habit, trying to get out of an addiction that has a hold of us. But when it comes to good things, when it comes to good things, it's a whole lot harder to get addicted than it is to get unaddicted. You see, Satan makes it that way. Satan makes it that way. The bad things, he'll keep putting in front of us, and we'll try it, and we'll get hooked by it, and then we have to claim God's help to get rid of it. But the good things, The good things Satan never puts in front of us. We have to be obedient to this book. And we have to be obedient to our Savior. And we have to go out and we have to look for the opportunities to get addicted to the good things But I tell you what, once you get a taste of it, you never want to give it up. Never, ever, ever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I pray if there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior tonight, they would see that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and tonight they would come. They would understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. And they would come tonight and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray that we would addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints, to those things that you've told us to do and want us to do to represent you in this world. And so I pray tonight that as the things that we've talked about and other things that you bring to our hearts and our minds.